Blog Talk Radio.
New direct.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. It's Tuesday night, 7:30. It's time for the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast. Hey, good evening, Robert. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you, Kenny.
Okay, and again, I always like to start the podcast off with a quick reminder that the work that Robert and I do is all voluntary. I don't know about Robert, but all I'm asking is just appreciate our efforts, man. I mean, what we do, again, we've got a yearning to do that. So we spend time studying so we can pass information on to you. But you got to understand, the same studying we do, and we always give you references. Come on, you can help us out a bunch by instead of just blindly following what we say. And I promise you, if you do that, I'm not going to run you into any solid objects. But I'm saying learn to open up your eyes, grab a little bit of this information, and read it for yourself. Because let me tell you something. We have a network of subject matter experts that chime in with us, that assist us. But you got to understand something, and that is we're here to help you. We can't do it for you. All you have to do, actually, is just become a little involved, and then this process will take care of itself. Tonight, what I want to talk about, I want to talk about that comical, in most cases, a CA2 form. A CA2 form, again, we're talking injury compensation. We're talking about a occupational disease and claim for compensation. Now, when we talk about occupational diseases, again, don't get this CA2 confused with the CA2A, okay? But we'll talk about that hopefully. But this CA2 deals with conditions that you may now have that you didn't have when you started to work for the post office. Conditions that arise from repetition in motion. Every day you drive the long fork, for example, and believe it or not, it's moved and it's stopped by you rotating your wrist on the throttle. Well, after about 4 or 5 years of that, it will not be, or it should not be a surprise to anyone if your wrist starts to bother you. Carpal tunnel is what I'm talking about. If that happens, and now this is what you do every day. See, a CA2 form would now be the form that you would want to put in play, again, because you don't have a specific date of injury. All you know is over a period of time, that same repetitive motion, again, may have lent itself to your injury. Now, the reason I say may have lent itself is the CA2 is on the other end of the spectrum when we talk about a CA1. A CA1 is kind of automatic. The agency's got to prove that that didn't happen. Well, a CA2, let's flip that over. You have to prove that it did happen. So the agency is a little more relaxed with that CA2 because the burden of proof is on you. But I say to you, if you are working at the post office or any federal employment in the same repetitive motion now gives you pain or an uneasy feeling, then you got to understand that FICA, it's administered by Office of Workman Compensation, OWCP. That's not your job. Now, don't get me wrong. Your job is going to end up paying that bill. So not trying to fool you like it's not their money. Oh, it may not be their money today, but it's going to be their money. But nonetheless, there are laws that says it has to be your money. And because of the FICA laws, you can't even keep that money away from the employee. So what they do is they don't educate you on it. Well, that's where, again, the Kenny and Rob Injury Compensation Podcast, the Jeannie and Chris Wednesday Night Facebook, the Elite Medical Facebook post. See, that's where all that comes in. And again, if you're injured, you have to kind of seek some of these avenues out if they're not right in front of you. When I talk about that CA2 form, again, we're talking about over a period of time, I feel I've been injured. And let me, I'm going to segue here just for a minute. When I talk about over a period of time, I feel I've been injured. One of the things that I don't know how we're going to do this, but we so need to do this. There needs to be a body of an official body of individuals made up so that when employers prohibit or obscure an employee's opportunity to file a claim under FICA OWCP, then there should be some body somewhere that delivers quick, heavy-handed penalties to these supervisors, to these employers, because the number of people that I come in contact with that start a story off to me with, I told my supervisor that I hurt my shoulder a month ago. I told my supervisor again last week, my shoulder is still hurting from a month ago. That story is like a literary motif. That's how often I hear it. So I'm simply saying, before I go into the CA2, that I don't know if such a body exists, but I know there needs to be one so that employers who are not educated in injury compensation or who block employees from their right to file federal injury claims, I think that the punishment on that individual should be very, very heavy. I mean, it should be heavy and severe enough that it sends a message to the rest of the agency that the federal FICA, OWCP, Department of Labor, is not going to tolerate you crying ignorance with the fact of you didn't know, not your ignorance in the fact of you didn't know. Well, listen, that is unacceptable. If you didn't know after you pay this heavy fine and take care of what it is that you just didn't know, well, you know now. Hey, let's get over to the CA2. Again,
before we do,
go ahead, Robin.
OSHA may be able to help with that. If you're not being told about it, or if you're being denied the forms, and if they fail to file the forms after you give them one, you can file a claim with OSHA, have them investigate.
Yeah. See, but and again, now don't get me wrong, and I understand that there's a process to it, but again, do you know if anyone has ever filed for failure on management to handle a claim?
No, mostly because I didn't know about it until last month.
Okay. Well, you know what?
We could go through OSHA.
You know what we ought to try to do, Ron, is, I don't know, maybe, watch this. If I had an actual staff right now, I'd be saying, my staff is going to schedule me an appointment with OSHA, and we may invite them on our podcast and see if they'd like to help us understand that. Because, again, that's sad. I mean, real sad. When you, and, again, because we talk to people every day, you understand what I mean when I say how many stories start off with, oh, I didn't know I could report that, or my supervisor said I'm going to get fired if I report that. Far too many. And again, I think that there ought to be some kind of penalty put on the agency again. And I hope it just keeps doubling every, you know, because when you get fined by OSHA, It just keeps getting higher and higher. Your second fine is never the same price or same fee as your first time. They've got a different system that they work with. But if you are hurt at work and you can't remember the exact date, then that moves that injury right out of the venue of a CA1 into the possibility of a CA2 or CA2A. Now, when you file your CA2 or your CA2A, now, unlike, and again, I was mistaken on this, but I spent enough time online on the phone with my subject matter experts to get clarity on it. When you file a CA2 or a CA2A, there is no continuation of pay. But it's just a semantical thing. In other words, you can't get continuation of pay, but you can get lost wages. The only difference that I see right now between the two is continuation of pay is automatic from the first day within that 45-day period, and it's inputted by the post office, and there's nothing you really have to do there except make sure your CA1 is correct. When we talk about lost wages, you're going to be reimbursed, but you have to initiate the reimbursement. So a lot of times, again, if you have a CA2 or CA2A accepted, now, if you require time away from work as a result of that injury, then you can't get COP, but you can get what they call lost wages. And again, it breaks down to be pretty much the same. Now, I'm not certain if your lost wages, in fact, I'm pretty sure that they are 100%. Can you help me on that, Rob? Do you know what your lost wages would be?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm assuming they're going to pay you 100%, but the taxes still have to come out.
Right. Okay. So in other words,
I think. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I think the post office takes care of that.
Okay.
But I'm not positive on that yet.
And again, in other words, when you file that CA2, now you have to do a little more work. But let me tell you something. If you are, and I don't want to sound cold, but if your doctor puts you off work for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, unless you are bedridden and can't write, I mean, at some point, you just make sure you stay on top of your CA7s and your checks won't be interrupted. Now, again, from me speaking to individuals in the injury compensation community, that CA7, once your CA2 or CA2A is accepted, that CA7 is designed. Now, once again, sometimes you got to put a little oil on the wheel to make it really go round and round smoothly, but the CA7 is designed so that your financial income isn't overly interrupted. You may have an issue initially, maybe about a week, but then if you send your paperwork in with consistent interval, then when you get paid, you'll continue to get paid. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but you have to help stay on top of what it is you're trying to get. And in this case, you don't want an interruption to your salary. So you have to make sure you submit the CA7 for lost wages timely. And Rob, give me a little more breakdown on that CA7, or tell me something about that CA7 that our listeners need to know.
Essentially, it's really not much more than a cover sheet for the CA7A. What it does is lists the dates you were off and whether or not you had other wages like night differential or whatnot. And then if you have dependents, you list them on that. And then you submit this with your CA7A. And this basically tells your examiner, okay, this is what happened this week, this pay period. It's an overview of the dates, essentially, whether you want to do a leave buyback. And we covered leave buyback last, the last podcast. But, you know, it identifies you to your claims examiner, essentially, is what it is. It says, okay, this is me. This is my claim. These are the dates I need covered. And then you go to your CA-7A and go into more detail on what days you were off for what reason. Now, you have to file this whether you're off work or not, because you go to your doctor. If you go during working hours, you get to claim that, and you claim those hours on the CA-7A. The CA-7 tells tells the examiner, hey, I've got this claim, and then the rest of it's following, essentially.
If I can interject one quick minute, again, just looking at some things while we're talking. No, with the CA-7, if you're getting compensated from the CA-7, you're going to get that 66%, because you're going to get 3/4 of total work hours claimed.
Well, that depends on whether you have dependents or not.
Right.
Right. If you have dependents that are under 18 or you're married, then you're going to get 75%. If you do not have any dependents and you're not married, you're going to get 66 2/3%.
Okay, so so if you're married, you're saying you're going to get a greater portion?
Yes.
Okay.
Workers' comp recognizes the fact that if you have a dependent, whether it's a spouse or a child or a parent that you have to provide care for, if they're listed as a dependent on your IRS tax forms, then they count for this because you've got to feed them. And if they take the 66% or give you only 66%, they realize that that's cutting your budget while you're off work extremely short.
Okay.
So they do something to cover it. They're not going to give you the full benefit, but they'll give you 75%.
And getting going back and forth between the CA-2 and this CA-7 and 7A, let me tell you something. There's three very, very important aspects, and they've got sub-steps to them. But your statement, the medical report, the statement, well, we can go with those two. Your statement and the medical report is what's going to let you know if you really got a sincere chance of getting a CA-2 accepted. And what I mean by that is, now remember, you don't have an exact date and time of the injury. You're claiming, because we're talking to CA-2, that this happened over a period of time. So once you do your statement, you might want to see your doctor before you even fill out this form. Because let me tell you something. If your doctor can't give you documentation based on what it is you are alleging, then there is no way for this CA-2 to be accepted. So if, for example, I used the example earlier, if you're driving that walkie rider, meaning that repetitive motion to make it go, to make it stop, to make it turn, after a while, let's just say hypothetically, you start to have carpal tunnel. Well, if your doctor can't associate that repetitive motion with carpal tunnel, then you might not even want to start a CA-2 or CA-2A process, because it's vital that, again, your doctor is going to say it could lend itself, or something to the effect that gives the Department of Labor some kind of lifeline to hold on to as they look at it. Because, again, we're talking about an injury that happened over time. And I don't like this. The forum, they talk about occupational disease. But I'm talking, so I'll go with the vernacular that the form, a disease that has happened overtime. Not one day, not 2 days, but constant days. And another thing that a CA2 may be real instrumental in is you work inside that plant and that noise, the constant hearing of that noise. Well, again, I'm currently involved with the 3M earplug lawsuit from the military. But if working in there under that noise weakens or affects your hearing level, again, that's something that you have an opportunity to be compensated for. Now, let me tell you, nobody wants to be in there all day intentionally holding, I mean, trying to damage their ears so that they can get some kind of compensation. That's not the kind of people anyone is. I mean, minus that less than 1%. But if you work there, and this is a natural transition from being in that noisy environment every day to now your hearing is damaged, then they owe you compensation for that. I just wanted to throw another example of why we have these CA2s, because it's still one of the forms that whenever I speak to people about it, I swear it is like so funny. Right away, they give me that face like, yo, Ken, I know you from Jersey, man, but it sounds like you're trying some slick stuff here. No, man. Let me tell you, know, sometimes I get emotional about some of the things that we do. But let me tell you something. The Department of Labor has this injury compensation process pretty well laid out in your behalf. You just have to understand that it is there for you, because I'm telling you, once you grasp the concept of what FECA laws and Department of Labor is designed to do, then you can't question. You've got a good process here. All federal employees, federal injury compensation is excellent. It is so excellent, or it is so good. It is the same injury compensation package that our congressmen and senators have. Now, trust me, if that don't sell you on how great this process is, I don't know what will, because you know those who are supposed to represent us in Congress, in the House, again, they're only – I'm sorry, I almost got off on a political rant, but I'll say if it – I had to catch myself. If it's good enough for them, then you got to know it's good enough for us, because if anything is tilted in their favor and we get to share in it, again, you have to take advantage. You have to. So one of the most important things that I realized while researching again on this item is you have to understand, again, it's semantics, but when we talk CA forms, we don't talk continuation of pay. We talk lost wages. Again, continuation of pay is 100%. Lost wages is 3/4 and up of your salary, but you still get compensated while you were home recuperating properly. Before we started the show tonight, it has come to my attention that employees are still being given work assignments that violate their restrictions. And how we're still doing that this day and age is way beyond my level of comprehension. If you have, and I'm sorry, I kind of transitioned off of my CA2 and 7 as we get ready to wind this down. But if you have an injury, the post office has to acknowledge it. Now, I got to tell you, don't be alarmed when they threaten to fire you over an injury. Just have enough knowledge to know to report that to your union. I want to say so bad, if that don't work, find me and Robert. But I'm going to go with report that to your union, because they get real touchy when I say we can do things that they won't. So, but you don't have to really. Yes, and it is true. Again, I, you know, but you don't have to be afraid of that. you know, if you are being penalized for having injuries. Now, let me tell you something, though. They are not supposed to be able to fire you because you got hurt at work. Now, when I make a statement like that, I'm hoping that you're working safe. Now, you have to, if you out there with some shenanigans, you out there, you know, playing Jack Tractor or whatever you call them, Jack Forklift or Jack Lift or Rodeo, riding back and forth on that, and you get hurt, well, you got to know that there's a consequence for that. But if you are actively employed or engaged in the performance of your duty and something goes wrong, well, again, you don't have to fault yourself for that. You make sure you report that and you get what the government and what the federal law says you're entitled to.
Can I interject here, Ken?
Sure you can.
All right. I want to read line 35 on the CA2 form. And this concerns the supervisors. It is the supervisor's signature section. It says, a supervisor who knowingly certifies to any false statement, misrepresentation, concealment of a fact, etc., in respect to this claim may also be subject to appropriate felony criminal prosecution. Right, and then they have to certify that everything they said is true. If they did not do what they were supposed to do, they're subject to criminal prosecution. Plain and simple. It says it right there, and they have to sign it saying they read it. And if they get charged and convicted of a felony, there is no more government work for them. In fact, most major companies won't hire a felon. So if they're denying or basically lying on their form, or preventing you from having the form, they're facing charges. But it's up to you to press those charges.
And you know, it's so funny, Robert, when you say denying you the form. Well, again, we had a situation last week where a young lady asked her supervisor for a form for injury that happened 4 or 5 months ago. Now, again, because here's where lack of knowledge comes in. Because it didn't happen right now, the supervisor was perplexed. Well, what do I do? I don't know. You asking for the wrong form. Well, the young lady remembered the exact day and time she told the supervisor about the injury. So now we're within our proper filing period for CA1. She knows the exact day and time of the injury. She knows the exact date and time she reported to her supervisor. She knows the exact date and time of several other conversations between her and her supervisor about that injury. And now her supervisor wants to act as if they have no idea what she's talking about. And let me tell you, that's classic postal management. But she did, and she contacted Ken and Rob. And again, this is the guidance that we gave her. Now, number one, if your supervisor don't understand the form, and I spoke to postal management, and I kind of said, listen, if an employee is asking for a form, give them what they ask you for. Give them what they ask for, again, because you may not know. Then go ahead and submit that in. Because if it's wrong, we can update it or we can change it. But the employee in this situation, I spoke to, and I knew what form she asked for, and it was the correct form. So, in effect, management in Columbus, Ohio, stopped that claim from being filed days ago. Now, my thing is this, and I don't know, again, what kind of committee or who, but I'm going to do more research into finding out who we can contact for continuous violations when it comes to processing claims for employees out of Columbus, Ohio. And again, we do federal injury comp on this podcast, but I make no bones about my interest stops outside of Columbus, Ohio post office, and Rob's continues through the whole federal gambit. Hey, but listen, that's my name's Ken Hodge and my partner Robert Frost. That concludes our Tuesday night injury compensation podcast. And again, I'm sorry if I got a little wordy with the fact. something should be done to managers who don't understand or don't abide by injury compensation rules and regulations, because the employee is the one who ends up getting hurt. So, again, let's work safe. Check out the podcast on Tuesday nights. Check out Jeannie and Chris Wednesday night Facebook chats. So there are avenues in place that are designed to increase your knowledge. Now you gotta reach out a little bit. If you reach out a little bit, the information that's coming at you is so entertaining that I guarantee you'll reach out more. Hey, this is Ken Hodge. I'm saying good night. Good night, Robert, and I'll see you tomorrow, man.
Good night, Ken. Good night, everyone. All right.